Where are you from? You're from Sudbury. It's your first time? Oh, okay. Anybody from Thunder Bay way? Anybody from that far away? New Liskert? Where's everybody else from? New Liskert. How many people from New Liskert? All right. Well, it's great to be here, isn't it? And it's a tremendous opportunity to be together. And we're trusting the Lord to do some really special things this weekend. And you know, to me, it's an incredible privilege to speak to a group of young people, because you have so much potential for the future. You can change your world. You can change your communities. You can impact your world in such an incredibly significant way. And that's exciting. That really is. Each one of you are standing on the threshold of a life that can make a difference. Now, for this weekend, we're going to take as our theme, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. And I'm going to ask if we can play the song now. We have it on CD. And some of you have heard that song. To listen carefully to the words. You're going to hear it a number of times between tonight and tomorrow. Listen carefully to the words. Okay? Let's go ahead and play.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor you. I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. The great angelic voice, I can almost hear their voices ring. Time has come to count the cost. You reject this world to embrace the cross, and one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life to the promise. On the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all.
It's a very powerful song, and it's a very, very important truth that we need to think about and grasp hold of. The cause of Christ still goes on. The world has not yet been won to the Lord. There are millions, there are billions of people who don't know Jesus. There are so many people who are lost, so many people who are aimless in this world. And so many people need to know about Jesus. And you know, the Bible tells us that you and me are living letters. People look at us and they will either see Christ in us or they will see the world in us. And the challenge that we're going to lay before you this weekend as young people is that you will rise to the challenge, that you will have the courage to say, I pledge my allegiance, my life to the Lamb. Let's just pray together. Lord, as we spend some time thinking about this theme of pledging allegiance to the Lamb, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would really touch our minds and our hearts, and that you would show us that there is only one thing worth pledging our allegiance to, only one thing that will last forever, and that is you, Lord. And I pray that you would really work powerfully in every person that is here in this weekend. And I pray that our lives would be turned upside down. I pray that we would be changed forever, that the Lamb would be our love, that the Lamb would be our life, that the Lamb would have all of our loyalty. Lord, please be with us. Please help us to listen. Please help us to take in and receive all that you want to say to us tonight and tomorrow. Lord, speak to us, we pray, in a way perhaps that we're not even expecting. We ask it in Jesus' name, the Lamb. Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I want to just think about and define what we mean by this theme. What is it that we're calling you to? What is it that you're being challenged to? Well, when you think about the concept of pledging, it's not that difficult, really, but it means taking a vow or making a promise or taking a solemn oath. And maybe in our society and day, we have lost some of the force and the impact of what it means to give a pledge. You know, to give a pledge means basically you're putting your name, your reputation, your life on the line. You're staking all that you are on that promise. Making a pledge. And you're saying, I won't break my word. What I'm promising, I'm going to do. I'm not going to go back on this. I'm not going to fudge on it. I'm not going to forget it. I am going to make good on my promise. A solemn oath. And when we talk this weekend about this whole idea of pledging allegiance to the Lamb, we're talking about committing ourselves, making this vow, this promise, this solemn oath to the Lord, and putting our lives in His hands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now, the word allegiance is a very interesting word, and it can mean a number of different things. As we think of that word allegiance, it in its most basic form, it means a bond, something that ties you, a bond of faithfulness. And when you have committed yourself to something or someone, you should be faithful to that. If you commit to somebody that you're going to do something and then you don't do it, then you're unfaithful to that promise. In human relationships, one of the highest promises of faithfulness that we can make is marriage. And unfortunately, we live in a society and a world that has trashed marriage. And has said, it doesn't matter. You can pledge yourself to be faithful to somebody in marriage. Then you can be unfaithful, divorce them, remarry, do whatever you want. And that unfaithfulness is costing our society very, very dearly. That unfaithfulness in marriage is hurting and harming so many people, so many kids. In the final analysis, it will break down our society. When we pledge ourselves in marriage, That ought to be such a strong bond of faithfulness that nothing can break it, that we do not allow anybody to come in between us and that person that we have committed to. You know, and the Lord uses that picture of faithfulness in marriage as a picture of a relationship between Him and us. He has committed Himself to us, and He promises to be faithful. And now it's up to us to take that pledge seriously and commit ourselves in faithfulness to Him. In Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us that Christ is the bridegroom, and the church, the people who make up the church, are the bride. And we are to commit ourselves to Him in such a deep love and such a deep commitment and such a deep faithfulness that we refuse to allow anybody else to come in between us and the Lord. He's got to be our number one priority. It's a beautiful picture, but it's also an amazing responsibility, isn't it? When we are called to such a degree of faithfulness. When we say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, we're pledging faithfulness. We're giving our commitment to the Lord. We're giving our word. And we're saying, Lord, I'm going to follow through on this. I make a solemn oath to follow You and to be Your disciple. Allegiance, faithfulness, commitment. I was speaking to a man a couple of years ago, and he was working with a number of kids in a downtown city mission kind of situation. And he said that most of the people that he was dealing with came from very difficult and sad backgrounds, and they had a lot of struggles in their lives. And one day he was sitting around chatting with them about long-term commitment. And he said he was coming from his understanding of long-term commitment. He's thinking, like, you know, for all of your life. And he was shocked to find out that amongst the group, their long-term commitment meant 24 hours. That was long-term for them. And he couldn't believe it. And as he chatted with him, he realized that these young people were surrounded completely by all kinds of situations, by all kinds of messages from their music and their entertainment and everything else, in which the word commitment just didn't figure, right? Could you just, you did whatever you found fun. You did whatever turned your crank. So if that changed, well, then you dropped whoever you were with or whatever you're doing, and you went to whatever brought you most fun. And so the idea of commitment was really foreign. And he was speaking to them at one time about going out as missionaries. And they could not grasp the idea of, say, going out as a missionary to Central America for 2 years. To them, that was like so long. That was just impossible. 2 years. No, no, no. We don't mind a week. But 2 years, no ways. And this particular fellow had been a missionary himself in South America. And when he went, it was a permanent commitment. And the only reason he came back was because of some dire circumstances. When we think of pledging our allegiance to the Lamb, we're not talking about a short-term high, something that's going to be really cool for the weekend, and then we're going to forget about and just go back to the way that we were or find something more fun. But instead, we're talking about a long-term commitment, a life commitment, something that we're going to pledge our allegiance to and be faithful to. And be focused on. The word can also mean dedication. Dedication. And when we pledge allegiance to the Lord Jesus, we are pledging and dedicating ourselves for a very special purpose. You know, if you take something and dedicate it, sometimes people will, you know, open a new building or whatever, and they'll have a dedication, right? And they say, this building is now dedicated for the use of such and such, right? Very particular purpose usually that it's dedicated for. Well, when a person becomes a Christian, what they're saying is, I am dedicating myself for a very special purpose. And that very special purpose is to live for Christ and to show Him to the world and for other people to see Him real and alive and working in me and through me. Dedicating yourself for a very, very special purpose. But I guess the word can mean even more than faithfulness, commitment, dedication. It can also include the idea of being devoted or devotion. And that word devoted carries the idea of committing yourself and directing your attention mainly to one thing or to one purpose. Okay, so when you think of this, what are we talking about this weekend? I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Okay, what do we mean here? Well, I'm making a promise to the Lord, a solemn oath. Allegiance, what are we talking about? I'm talking about committing myself, being faithful to the Lord. I'm talking about appointing, dedicating myself, devoting myself to one particular thing, to one particular person. Above everything else, I'm going to make this one person the most important person in my whole life. And in the book of Colossians, in the New Testament, in chapter 1, the writer says that in everything, we must take the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him preeminence. Preeminence. What does that word preeminence mean? Somebody tell me, what does the word preeminence mean? Go on, you English buffs, tell me. Preeminence. Come on, come on. I know you know it. Thank you. It comes ahead of everything else. Okay? It has the number one position. There's nothing more important than it. It comes at the top of the list. Another way of saying it? Top priority. Right? Top priority. Jesus should have the preeminence. He should come ahead of everything else. He should be at the top of the list. He should have the highest priority in our lives. In other words, He occupies the number one position above everything and everyone else. That's what it means to pledge allegiance to Him. Okay. The last word I want us to think about just for a moment is the word consecrate. The word consecrate is used in the Bible a number of times. And the word consecrated very simply means set apart and focused toward one goal. Focused toward one goal. Okay, now, James, I know you're studying for an exam, right? And you've got to do it on Monday. So that has been put off for Monday? Wednesday? You all know what it means, like when you have a big exam coming up, something important. It's very important that if you're going to pass that exam, and especially if it's critical, say that you get a certain percentage in that exam, otherwise, you know, the rest of your year's work in that particular subject is in jeopardy. You know that you have to really focus yourself on that. I can remember in my final year at high school, my geography teacher telling me, he said, "You should get such and such in this course, but you won't." He said, you'll get a C in this course. I thought, I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm going to really work hard at this. But unfortunately, at that stage in my life, my highest priority was fishing. I loved fishing. Every second I went fishing. I skipped school to go fishing. I mean, I lived for fishing. And so I was going to do all this geography studying in these last 3 or 4 days before the exam. Well, I got a call on the Friday from the chairman of a club. I fished competitions and of the fishing club. And he said, "Peter, I know that you've got an exam next week, but," he said, "one member of our team has had to drop out, and we need a full team of 8 people to fish in the competition this weekend. Otherwise," he said, we don't have a chance of winning the cup. "Could you fish this weekend?" I said, "Oh, wow, I really got to study." And he said, "Come on, we really need you, you know." So I was thinking that we were just going to fish kind of locally. And, you know, I could just go out maybe Saturday morning and fish for the 6 or 8 hours of the competition. And then it'd be over. But after I'd said yes, he told me that the fishing competition was actually 6 hours out of town. And I had to leave Friday night. And we were going to fish on Saturday. And we were only going to come back on the Sunday. So there was my whole weekend gone. And by the time I came back Sunday night feeling tired and everything else, I suddenly realized that I haven't even got 24 hours to study for that exam. Well, I won't tell you what I got for the exam. You can guess, right? But you see, my problem was that my focus was in the wrong place. And the thing that I really wanted was not that exam, right? And my teacher was actually right, because he knew what I was focused on. And when we focus in the wrong place, or if we don't focus at all, it always costs us. And I always think back now, and I think at that time, that fishing competition seemed so important to me. What does it mean now? Since then, that fishing club's even closed up. It's no longer even in existence, you know. What did it matter what that fishing competition that weekend? But to me, it was so important at the time. So I didn't understand the more important things in life. You know, the most important thing in your life, in my life, is pledging our allegiance to the Lamb, consecrating ourselves to the Lord, focusing our efforts and our energies and our attention towards Him. That goal. And just keeping that before us all the time. Setting ourselves apart for Him, for His use. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. We heard on that song, and he said, I heard of a tyrant long ago who brought these Christians before his throne. And he said to them that, I will spare your life if you will renounce Jesus Christ. But one by one, they chose to die. Their Lord they could not deny. And you know, that scenario has played itself out again and again and again in the world. And today, it has been played out somewhere in the world. I got an email the day before yesterday asking for prayer for a missionary in East Timor who was scheduled to be executed yesterday by beating to death because he's a Christian in a Muslim country. And they warned him to stop speaking about Jesus. And they told him, don't you dare tell anybody else about Jesus, because nobody in our Muslim community is allowed to convert to Jesus Christ. And he refused. He continued to preach about the Lord. He continued to stand up for the Lord. He was arrested. He was arraigned on charges. He was thrown into prison. He was condemned to die. As far as I know, he died yesterday. This is the 21st century. I thought people were only martyred and killed for their faith during days gone by. No. It's happening today. In Indonesia. It's happening in the Sudan. It's happening in China. It's happening in parts of India. It's happening in Muslim countries all over North Africa and the Middle East. It's happening in many different places. People are being persecuted and people are choosing to die rather than deny the Lord. One of the most powerful stories that I heard a few years ago, a true story, and it had happened a long time ago, back during the Cambodian War. There were many Christians who were killed by the Marxist rebels during that time. And one particular family was surrounded in their home and brought out to be executed by firing. And as they were made to dig their own grave, a big open pit, and then they were lined up along the grave and they were going to be shot. And there was a teenage boy who, at the last minute, just the pressure got him, and he suddenly he turned and he ran into the bush. And the rebels ran after him. And the father jumped up and he said, no, 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 wait. He said, I will get my son back. I will get him back. And they thought it was a trick at first, but he said, no, I will get him back. And he shouted and he called to him and he said, son, don't run. He said, because that will give them the victory. He said, you know the Lord. You come back. And he said, die with honor, with the name of Christ upon your lips. And after a few minutes, this teenage boy emerged from the bush. And he came back and he joined his family. And they put their arms around each other as they were made to kneel down next to the hole that they had dug. And suddenly they opened fire on them. And they killed them. One by one, the members of those family dropped into the hole. And they were all killed. They refused to deny Christ. They pledged allegiance to the Lamb to the very end. What courage, eh? What commitment, what faithfulness, what dedication, what devotion, what consecration. But you see, they saw themselves as being set apart and focused on one goal and one goal only. And that was to be the Lord Jesus' disciple, to belong to Him, to represent Him. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I don't know. Maybe out of this group here, this weekend, God has a plan for one of you or two of you or more to be a martyr, to take you to a hard place, to a difficult country, to give up the comforts and conveniences of North America, and to be willing to put your life on the line completely and to say, I will go, I don't care the cost, I'm willing to go. Just like the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, when he was together with some Christians and he told them, he said, the Holy Spirit has told me that what awaits me when I go to Jerusalem is beatings and imprisonments and misunderstandings and all kinds of trouble. And they said, don't go, because your life is in danger. And he said to them, my life doesn't count for anything apart from Christ. I'm ready to go, he said. I'm ready to go for the Lord. The Lord has done so much for me. I love the Lord. He's loved me and all that He's done for me. I'm ready to go. And yes, even if I must die in Jerusalem, I will go. Tremendous allegiance to the Lamb. Consecrated, devoted, dedicated, a bond tied in faithfulness and commitment. When we're talking about being pledged in allegiance to the Lamb. To the Lamb. I want us to think for a few moments on who is this Lamb. Why is He called the Lamb? Why should I pledge allegiance to Him? How should I pledge allegiance to Him? What should I do about this? If you have a Bible, turn please to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. I'm going to read verse 29 and also verse 36. Who is this Lamb? Who is this Lamb that we're talking about giving our lives to and pledging our allegiance to and following? Well, here's the answer. John 1, 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There it is. Who is this Lamb? This is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus Christ. That's who we're talking about when we talk about the Lamb. Verse 36. And looking at Jesus as He walked, John said, behold, the Lamb of God. Consider for a moment our Lord Jesus. Who is He? The Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible tells us that the name, one of the names of our Lord Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, the Bible tells us that this one who is to come, this Lord Jesus, this Messiah, this anointed, promised one of God, was going to be a prophet, yes, He was going to be a priest, He was going to be a king, but more than all of that, He is God. He is God incarnated. God come in the flesh. An amazing miracle. It boggles our tiny little finite minds when we think of it. God, the infinite God in the flesh, walking and talking amongst us and with us here on this earth. That's who Jesus is. And you know, through Jesus' life, a lot of the times people misunderstood Him and misrepresented Him. But there were times when His deity, the fact that He is God, just shone through so brightly. You know what was amazing? The devils, the demons, because they are spiritual beings, they knew who Jesus was, even when some of the people didn't. And one time, a fellow who was demon-possessed ran up to Jesus, and the demon spoke, and he said, we know who You are. You are the Holy One of God. And Jesus silenced him. He said, I don't want you to say that, because My time is not yet. But they recognized who He was. At times He showed that He was God. It was a man paralyzed. Raised him up. Lazarus has died. Brought him back from the dead. There was a storm. And Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. And he said to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And suddenly it was perfectly calm. His deity shone through. And as you read through the Gospels, you see that he has authority over the elements of the world. He has authority over animals. He has authority over people. He has authority over everything because he is God. See, this Lord Jesus, this one who is called the Lamb, is none other than God come in the flesh. And we must remember that as we think about pledging our allegiance to him. Who is he? Who is he? This is God. This is God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you've never read through the New Testament, I would really encourage you to spend some time just reading through it. Just start at Matthew if you like and just read through. But you'll find that on every page, you will read about the Lord Jesus. He is the topic of the New Testament. You will find his name everywhere. Read the New Testament. Read it again and again. And as you read it, the Lord will teach you and give you understanding on who he is, who the Lord Jesus is. It's so important that we understand it, because if we're going to pledge our lives to him, we better know who he is and what he has done. Why is he called the Lamb? Why is he called the Lamb? Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. In Exodus chapter 12, we have a very specific historical event that happens in the life of the nation of Israel. The people of Israel are in Egypt, and they're in slavery. Like they don't have any freedoms at all. Life is really tough for them. Terrible things are happening to them. And they ask God for help, and God sends them help. He sends them a deliverer in the person of Moses. And Moses, through a whole series of circumstances, leads the people out. But the night before they leave, there's something very particular that's going to happen. The very last of the plagues. And that is, God had promised that the firstborn in every household in Egypt would die. But he told his own people, the Israelites, he said, "Now here's what you've got to do. You've got to take a lamb. And for 14 days you have to have that lamb in your house. And you have to treat that lamb almost as if it was your pet, as part of your family almost. But then, on this particular night, you have to kill the lamb. You've got to collect the blood. And you've got to take some of that blood and you've got to sprinkle it around and you've got to put it over your door, the entrance to your house. And that blood on your house is going to be a sign. Because the Lord said, when I send the angel of death to go through Egypt and he begins to knock off the firstborn in every family, when he comes to a house that the blood has been applied, the blood of the lamb is put on the door, he will pass over that house and he won't enter the house to bring death to that house. And so your firstborn will be spared as long as the blood is on the doorpost." And you see, the blood of the lamb was the key. The blood of the lamb was what was needed to bring deliverance and to stop death from coming into that particular house. And that scenario gives to us the background of this whole idea of this sacrificial lamb. A lamb was slain, and that lamb prevented death from coming, and it brought the deliverance or the salvation of God to that home. Now, turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. And in Isaiah chapter 53, we have a wonderful prophecy given of our Lord Jesus and what he was going to do when he came. And we'll see in Isaiah chapter 53 the work that he was going to do. I'll read from verse 3 of Isaiah 53. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Just as the people in Egypt needed a lamb to be slain to stop death from coming to them and to bring deliverance, so there is a prophecy here of this wonderful truth, that we as human beings need a lamb to be slain in order to stop death, spiritual, eternal death and condemnation from coming to us, and to bring deliverance for us, to bring salvation. We needed a lamb to be slain. But the kind of lamb that we needed was not just any old lamb. It had to be not just something, but someone very, very special. It had to be a person just like us. But that person had to be perfect. Problem. No perfect people. Right? The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. Enter the Lord Jesus. God come in the flesh. Perfect person. And he comes and he lives a perfect righteousness on this earth. And he gives himself. He dies on the cross. He gives his life. He sheds his blood for us. Our sins were laid on him. He gives his life. He sheds his blood. So that death and eternal separation and condemnation and hell can be turned away from us. And so that we can be delivered, that we can be saved, and that we can have our sins forgiven, and that we can know God. Going to the New Testament, into 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover lamb was sacrificed for us. Couldn't be clearer. There Paul takes the picture of the Passover lamb from the Old Testament and he applies it directly to the Lord Jesus. And he says, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Near the end of your New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Who is this lamb? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he called the lamb? Because he is fulfilling what was the picture given to us back in Exodus, the prophecy given to us in the Old Testament in passages like Isaiah chapter 53. And he is the one who is the sin bearer. He takes our sin upon himself. He takes our death. He takes our condemnation. And he gives to us life. He gives to us forgiveness. He gives to us freedom. He is called the Lamb because of the work that he has done, his sacrificial work that he has done. But why should I pledge allegiance to him? Why should I pledge allegiance to this Lord Jesus? Number one, he is worthy. He is worthy. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 is such a powerful glimpse into heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. And then he jumped down to verse 8. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy. You are worthy." You see, when our Lord Jesus came to this earth and accomplished His perfect, perfect work for us, He established for Himself a name that is above every other name. And in Philippians chapter 2, we are told that God has highly exalted Him and given Him this name that is above every other name. Why? That every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is worthy. Down in verse 12 of the same chapter in Revelation 5, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Wow! Worthy is the Lamb. You see, the Lord Jesus is worthy of our allegiance. If I ask you to follow me, if I said, "Hey guys, I'm starting a new religion, okay? And I'd like all you guys to follow me and you know, buy into my religion. And I've asked you to do a bunch of stuff." Well, who am I? I'm nothing. Like, why should you follow me? I'm not worthy. Well, same thing. You look at all the religions of the world, and you've had people who have dreamed up some new ideas, and they've got a bunch of people to follow them. And they've been very convincing in the way they've put those ideas across. But tell me, where are the leaders of the religions of the world? Dead and gone, right? They were ordinary people, just like you and me. People with faults and failings and hang-ups and hassles and everything else, just like you and me. They weren't worthy of people's devotion and people's following. And that's all the false religions of the world have leaders that are unworthy. But you know, the Lord Jesus is the only one worthy of our allegiance because of who He is. Because of what He has done for us. He has loved us and He has paid an enormous price to buy us, to redeem us, to make us His very, very own. And He is worthy. He's worthy of your allegiance. But you know, the Bible also tells us that He is the judge. And in Revelation chapter 6, we have kind of a little snapshot of something that will happen in the future. And we're told in Revelation chapter 6, verse 16, that on the day of judgment, it says, "The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us, hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" Wow. You know, on the one hand, we see Him as the Lamb that was slain. Looks like He's weak, right? He's been killed. He's been put to death. People are taking Him, pushing Him around. They're beating Him. They're putting the crown of thorns. They're crucifying Him. You know, and even the people who saw Him when He hung on the cross, they said, "Okay, big deal. You said that You were the Son of God. Now come down from the cross. Display Your power, you know. Where is all Your greatness? Where is all Your promises now?" He's dying. And they look and say, "Whoa, man." But on the third day, He rises up from the dead. He ascends back to heaven. He is alive and well. And He is the ruler of this universe. And there will come a day when every single person who has ever lived on the face of this earth will stand before the Lamb who was slain. But when they stand before Him, He's not going to look weak, because He's going to stand as their judge. And it says, when these people here that are pictured in Revelation 6 see Him, they will be so terrified, so scared, they will run, they will try and hide, they will go into caves and mountains and rocks, they will do anything to try and get away from the face of the Lamb, because He will be their judge. Amazing contrast here. And you know, the reality is this: every one of you in this room, every one of you will one day face Jesus either as your Savior or as your judge. Amazing. Terrifying thought in one sense, isn't it? Like if you have not received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, one day you will stand before Him as the judge. And maybe you'll be one of the people, because remember, this is a prophecy, this is a prediction of what will happen in the future. You might be one of the people who ran, terrified of the Lamb. And perhaps you'll be one of those. Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Why should I pledge allegiance to this Lamb? He is worthy. He is the judge of all. But you know, He is also the Savior. And this is a beautiful thought we've seen in John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb who does what? Takes away the sin of the world. We saw in Peter, he says, you have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. A price has been paid for us. He has loved us so much. He cares so much about every one of us, every one of you. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done, what your struggles are, what your hang-ups are. It doesn't matter about your background, how messed up you've been or how good you have been. Every one of us needs a Savior. And every one of us needs to humble ourselves and say, Lord Jesus, I need You to be my Savior. I need Your blood to cleanse me and forgive me. What a wonderful, amazing thing it is to come to that point in your life. I remember so clearly that day, 11th of July, 1975, on a beach in South Africa, when I went down to commit suicide because there was no meaning in life for me. I'd messed everything up. I was so scared of what was going to happen to me. I felt lonely, I felt embarrassed, I felt hurt. Life just had no meaning for me. And I went down to that beach, and the Lord sent somebody to that beach to witness to me. And they spoke to me about the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, and how He loved me. He cared about me. I thought, nobody cares about me. I'm trash. I'm nothing. I'm useless. And I discovered that day that God loved even me. And He was concerned for me. He cared for me so much that He had died for me. And as I heard the words of the gospel that day, it just burned within my heart and soul. And I knelt down there in that beach sand, and I committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an incredible freedom I felt. The forgiveness. All the dirt and filth was just washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Instead of being a slave to sin and to myself and to my buddies and all the stuff we'd been doing, I was set free from that by the blood of the Lamb. It was so awesome. It was great. It was wonderful to experience what the Lamb could do in my life. And I don't regret for one second having pledged my life in allegiance to the Lamb back in 1975. The little chorus that we used to sing back in South Africa, that to Jesus gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And I really can say that's true. The more I've lived for the Lord and with the Lord, and the more I've learned of Him and discovered about Him, the sweeter He is, the more precious He is to me, the more He means to me. He is worthy. He is the judge of the world, but He's also the Savior who loves you and who cares for you and about you, and who wants you to come to Him. You see, He has paid for me with a great price, an amazing, amazing price. I'd like you to turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20. Do you not know that your body, now he's speaking to those who are Christians, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Why? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You were bought with a price, an amazing price, the highest price that could ever have been paid. The highest price that has ever been paid in this universe for anything or anyone. Jesus paid that price. He gave Himself. He gave His lifeblood to buy you out of the world and out of Satan's grip and out of an empty way of life, out of meaninglessness and out of being without purpose. He's bought you back by His own lifeblood to be His, to pledge your allegiance to Him, to the Lamb. The Bible warns us that we must not trample on the blood of Christ. We must not neglect the grace of God, the wonderful mercy and kindness and patience of God that has been shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the challenge is for you young people here tonight to pledge your life in obedience, in allegiance to the Lamb. To the Lamb. He is calling you to Himself. How can you pledge yourself in allegiance to the Lamb? The first thing is this: be saved. Get saved. Trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Commit yourself wholeheartedly to Him and commit yourself to live for Him. And during this weekend, we're going to talk a little bit about being transformed and what that really means. When you become a Christian, He begins a work of transformation, a new process in your life that's exciting to live for Him and to be under His Lordship and under His control, to be transformed, to let Him lead you. You know, it's so awesome to not feel like you're just stumbling along in life and you're not sure which way to go, how to make decisions. You can turn to Him and you can find a way that He can lead you and help you through every decision in life, through every heartache, through every difficulty. He can be there for you if you're His, if you belong to Him and you love Him. And then we're going to talk a little bit about this focus. To be able to say what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3. This one thing I do. This one thing I do. But you know, for tonight, I want to leave before you the challenge. If you are not saved, if you have not yet pledged your life to the Lord Jesus, if you have not received Him as your Savior, if His blood has not yet cleansed away your sin, I want you to consider and to pray coming to Him and committing your life to Him this weekend. Either you are in Christ or you're outside Christ. There's not three groups in the world. There's only two: those who are saved and those who are lost. Maybe you've grown up in a Christian home. Maybe you go to church. Maybe you go to a church youth group. That doesn't save you. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you've been confirmed. Maybe you've joined a church. That doesn't save you. There's only one way to get saved, and that is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd strongly encourage you to think deeply. Am I saved? Have I taken that step of pledging my life in allegiance to the Lamb? We're just going to pray, and after we've prayed, I'm going to ask that you play the song again for us. Okay? But let's just pray. And Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word, and above all, we thank You for the Lamb. We thank You so much for this wonderful gift of salvation that You've given to us in the Lord Jesus. We thank You for Him. And Lord, we know we don't deserve it. We know it's only because of Your grace. Father, we just pray tonight, if there's anybody here who does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, who has not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who has not taken that very first step in terms of pledging allegiance to the Lamb, that this would be the night, that this would be the weekend, that they give their life to You and become Yours, and experience the wonderful blessing of forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ. So, Father, please Would you speak to each heart and mind? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Just a moment, sorry about the player. Anyway, thank you.